John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World with Bill Raggio and Hossein Haqqani, helping me to understand through very long lens Afghanistan and Pakistan today, two parts of the world that were critical to the success of the United States war effort for 20 years and now are not much in the news except, Bill, I come to you with the facts the Financial Times is reporting right now. The UN Development Program estimates that gross domestic product for Afghanistan fell 20% in 2021, will shrink a further 5% this year. What does that mean? That 20 million people are now without food security. They're hungry. And not only that, but there is plenty of reporting around the region to suggest that the Taliban has imposed a cruel regime on the people of Afghanistan without law, without any review whatsoever, especially on young women and women in general. The cruelty is obvious. You can just see it in the way they walk through the market square with their families. However, again, Bill, we are coming to a year later. These facts being reported in London, and the Wall Street Journal has not been shy about reporting these facts. Is there any communication with Washington for those reports that have been promised a year for what went wrong?
Yes, John. So first of all, the Taliban, it's in its cruelty, like they need money, right, to feed the Afghan people. And they're asking for $7 billion that's being held by the U.S. that was from the previous Afghanistan government. President Biden indicated he would give about half of this, about $3.5 billion. And it's very simple. All the Taliban would have to do here is just do things like let girls go to school, to stop covering women. But the Taliban is so ideological that it won't. It believes in its cause. It's uncompromising. So the that shows just how much the Taliban hasn't moderated. It is completely committed. As far as the interest in the United States and understanding the failure in Afghanistan, there is little. And, you know, this is part of goes back to the point of the Biden administration wanting to give $3.5 billion to the Taliban. It will support the Taliban and prop them up. But this was all avoidable. If the U.S. had considered leaving Afghanistan in a different manner, it would not have to think about handing this money over to the Taliban. And the Taliban would do what it wants with the money. There's no way to oversee this. There is zero interest in the U.S. government in understanding our abject failure in Afghanistan, both historically and in the final, say, 2 to 3 years from the decision to withdraw up to the decision to negotiate a deal with the Taliban up to the actual withdrawal from Afghanistan and not leaving something behind in order for a rump Afghan government to survive. Instead, you have political parties, both political parties pointing the fingers. It's Trump's fault because he cut the deal with the Taliban. It's Biden's fault because he's the one who actually initiated the withdrawal. The reality is that every policymaker in Washington's fault. And there is no interest in figuring out what happened because ultimately the finger gets pointed back on the same people who made these decisions over the past 20 years.
Quickly, Bill, we were not alone in saying that withdrawing from Afghanistan would lead to a catastrophe. You kept the map for years showing the provinces falling to the Taliban influence, but we were not alone in saying that. There were other voices in Washington who were not listened to. Is that correct, Bill?
There were. They were few and far between. Those of us who were making these warnings, who were explaining the failures in Afghanistan and what it actually meant. Hossein Haqqani, obviously one of those. He was a fellow traveler. They didn't want to listen to us because we stood in the way of what policymakers on both sides wanted in Afghanistan. They wanted to leave, and therefore they were going to ignore voices
right,
like ours.
Right. Mr. Ambassador, there is an article in The Diplomat right now. Pakistan's former PM, Imran Khan, is on the comeback trail. Subhead, with his party's victory in the Punjab by-elections, he is pushing for early general elections. This is mid-July. Where is Khan's campaign now?
Well, Khan is obviously rallying his base. I think that if there is an early election, that will be advantageous to him. But the the government would argue, why should there be an early election? I think there are a lot of legal issues, constitutional issues, political issues, and above all, economic issues that have to be resolved before an election might be called. And under the constitution, an election is not due until October 2023. So we'll have to wait for Pakistan's politics to settle down. In the meantime, Imran Khan will definitely generate headlines, both for and against him, and we'll see how the politics plays out. A year is a long time in politics.
Does the Sharif government suffer the blame of the collapse of the finances? It was chiefly Khan's management that led to the present circumstance. Who is blamed?
The Sharif government has been particularly inept in getting its message out. It is definitely on the back foot, using a cricket expression, when it comes to fighting what Khan is arguing. Khan has made it all about some imaginary American conspiracy, about Pakistani nationalism, and about the fact that the Sharifs and their partners in government are not necessarily known for probity. So that is how it's playing out. If the government can find a way of connecting with the people again, it does have enough of a support base to be able to survive the next election.
Hussain Haqqani of the Hudson Institute, Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,